Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and we are beginning today's show by talking with you about herbs. And our first guest is Susan Betts. She's been in the business of growing and using herbs for 35 years. She's an honorary master gardener, member of the International Herb Association, and a life member of the Herb Society of America. She's also an author, and her new book is called Herbal Houseplants, Grow Beautiful Herbs Indoors. So, what would you like to know about growing herbs? Have you had some good experiences, maybe some bad experiences you want to share? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Susan Betts, welcome. Great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for the invitation to come and share about herbs.
Well, let's start by talking about what plants you consider or are considered to be herbs.
That's a great question. And there's a lot of different definitions offered by those of us interested in the subject, and that's part of the beauty of herbs. They're plants that we use for flavor, fragrance, medicinal, cosmetic. It all depends on the person and, you know, the plants that you're growing. I call them plants with possibilities, but some people think of culinary herbs such as parsley, sage, and thyme, but that doesn't really fit because we know we use herbs for more than cooking. If you look in the dictionary or a horticultural book to find out the definition, that doesn't fit either because it describes an herb as a herbaceous plant with a non-woody persistent stem that dies down to the ground. And we know that sage and rosemary and thyme are woody stemmed herbs. And then there are all the types of herbs that we grow in our flower border now that at one time were used for herbal reasons, and now they're just a pretty flower in the border. So that's just the beginning. So I could keep going on and on, but I won't.
Okay. Well, what is it about herbs that, I mean, here you've been doing this for 35 years or more. What is it about herbs that interest you so much?
Well, I think they're so useful. They you can use them for a multitude of uses. They're pretty in the garden, but they don't just stay in the garden and they come into the house. You can use I use herbs for cleaning, making my own cleaning products, bath products. I love herbal teas. And so in each spring, I start out with a lot of different herbs just to try them. It's an adventure. They're just really friendly plants. I've heard them called the green evangelists of the plant kingdom. So, and they're really great at making friends for themselves.
Why do they make good houseplants?
Well, because they're not the typical decorative house plants. It's because they're useful plants, and they are pretty, but not all herbs. And I want to make that very clear at the beginning of this program. Not all herbs belong indoors because of their growth habit. You know, they might be too large, or they just don't do well indoors. But there's a lot of the common herbs that I cover in my book that do grow well indoors. And you have to, growing in herbs indoors is almost a way of life. I mean, for me, I watch them, I move them around the house, but they're worth the effort to me, but it's not like growing succulents. But the payback is a lot more.
Payback's a lot more. And maybe you could, at this point, tell us, I'm looking through your book, some beautiful, some great photography in there, for one thing, but also a lot of useful information. Tell us how your book's organized.
Well, I start out with just an introduction of telling people what an herb is. and why they are worthwhile to try to grow them inside. And this book actually was based on a book that was written back in 1968, and it's Herbs to Grow Indoors by Adelma Simmons, who was a leading herbalist back in the 20th century. She wrote, she was a prolific author, and she was from Connecticut, Coventry, Connecticut. And when I looked at the book, I thought, wow, there's a lot of wonderful things that have happened in that 50 years. I mean, we have better grow lights. We've done a lot more with plants, you know, with hybridization. So there's a lot of dwarf or miniature plants that do well indoors, especially herbs. And so we have better grow mixes. It's just horticulture's made a lot of strides since that book was written. And I thought, well, it's time to take another look at this, because there are some people that don't grow herbs inside. They don't feel like it's worth their effort. But for me, it is. And so what I tried to do when I went through this book and wrote the book is talking about what an herb is, and then the how to grow them inside. As I said, it's a little bit different than the common house plant. Herbs are sun lovers, and a lot of herbs are from the Mediterranean. So you really need to acquaint yourself with the herb plant and its background. And so I started with that, and then I have herbs for the kitchen and beyond, herbs for fun and fragrance, and scented leaf geraniums, pelargoniums, and then temporary house guests and herbal topiaries. But this is not your typical houseplant book, because I also suggest moving your plants. Your herb plants like to go on vacation outside in the summer. So you move them out in the summer, and then you bring them back in. And so it might be a little bit more involved than some people want to spend their time doing. But I found a lot of young people are really interested in these plants, because they're good for your mind, your body, and your spirit. And it's a simple, healthy way to add flavor to your food, you know, relaxing teas. Herbs are great plants to grow indoors if you pick the right herb. And that's what I tried to show the people in the book.
Yeah. And this, you didn't mention scents, but some of the scent, I like the scent of many of them.
Oh, sometimes. Fragrance. Yeah. Herbs for botanical and fragrance. Oh, fragrance. It's so uplifting to go by and just touch a plant, you know, an herb plant. They ask to be touched, like when you harvest them, to add maybe some rosemary or sage or a mint to a dish or a beverage. I mean, you not only have the flavor, but you have the lovely fragrance that just uplifts your spirit. Like I like to grow patchouli indoors, and that is just a wonderful, the fragrance of that when you touch it. It's just a very nice herb plant.
Mary emailed that she bought a kit to grow basil at home, and it's been working out great. The basil was sprouting within the week and ready to harvest about maybe 6 weeks later. She keeps it in the warmest room of her apartment, and it's in direct sunlight most of the day. She's not usually very successful with indoor plants, so she's really happy. The basil plant has worked out well.
Well, basil, there are a lot of wonderful varieties that do well indoors. And that's, if you know the life expectancy of your plant, you can better care for the future of the plant. And like basil is an annual, so it's not going to last more than 3 months. And then you can start seeds again, you know, and just keep repeating that. Whereas, say, rosemary, I have a rosemary plant I've had for 20 years. That's a perennial. And so I'm glad to hear that she's had really good luck with the basil. As I said, I think there's a lot of new varieties out there. And when you go through some of the seed catalogs, one of my favorites is Richter's from outside of Toronto. He carries just amazing amounts of different types of herbs and all the stories behind these plants that he has in this catalog. It's fun to read, but the catalogs will also help you decide which plant will grow in your house. And everybody's indoor environment is different. And so you really do need to understand your indoor environment.
Veronica emailed to ask if you can grow lavender inside, and if you can, what variety works the best?
Well, yes, you can. And there are some lavenders that are particularly better to grow inside. Lavender Grosso is a good one. And then Spanish lavender, Lavandula stachosa. And then Goodwin Creek Gray is a really great one. And these lavenders, people have been growing inside for years. And I mean, you can go into, I was in a store the other day and I saw Goodwin Creek lavender and they're selling it for an indoor plant. So it is important with lavender. I mean, that likes a lot of sunlight. So these varieties that I just mentioned are the ones that do best inside.
Mm-hmm. Our guest today, Susan Betts, she's been growing herbs for a long, long time, and her new book is Herbal Houseplants, Grow Beautiful Herbs Indoors. Questions for her? We've had a couple of emails. You can also call us. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Christina Myshock, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at growing herbs indoors, herbal houseplants, our topic with Susan Betts. She is the author of Herbal Houseplants, Grow Beautiful Herbs Indoors. You can join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to ideas@WPR.org. Pete in Madison emailed. He's looking, and you may or may not be able to answer this, he's looking for a non-toxic plant-based wood sealer option. So he wants something to seal the wood. For new planter boxes. Any recommendations on that? A sealer for wooden planter boxes?
I have a lot of planter boxes, but I just use cedar, teak. So no, I honestly couldn't answer that, but I'm sure there is. And what I'll do is I can check with some members of the Herb Society of America or the International Herb Association and pose that question and see what they have to say.
I've and you know, actually cedar and teak, maybe if Pete hasn't purchased anything yet, that might be the way for Pete to go, is to get cedar or teak. And you don't need a sealer for those, I'm guessing.
I don't. What I found in this, personal preference plays a big role in growing and gardening. Gardening, I think, even if indoors or out, it's kind of, it becomes a personal activity. I don't like to waste the time resealing things or painting it. So wood is good. And if you pick the right container for your plants or your window boxes, it's going to save time, and then you don't have to restain it or recondition it each year. But that's a personal preference on my side. So
there you go. Well, how do you make sure, or no, let me put it differently. What's the key to successfully growing herbs inside?
The key is to meet, there are a lot of keys. As I say at the beginning of the book, growing in herbs indoors, they're not the easiest plants, but yes, it is worthwhile. Soil, nutrients, water, and sunlight, very, very important. And herbs are sun lovers. So you want to keep that in mind. And then you growing, being successful with them in your, each house is different, as I said, you know, moving them around and understanding the life cycle of your plant will, as I said before, will help you. And then just introduce yourself to the plant, you know, where does it originate from? A lot of, most herbs, you know, as I said before, some originate from the Mediterranean area. I have tea tree plant that I talk about in the book that comes from Australia. So if you understand the background of your plant and where it originates from, you that will give you keys to how to take care of that plant. Like mint, for example, or lemon balm, they will grow well inside and they don't have to be in a brightly, they need to be in a bright window, but they don't need direct sunlight all the time. And for me, like I'll move my plants around, especially in the winter, depending how the sun is going around the earth. Mm-hmm. So as I said, you need to pay attention to the plants. It's like a reciprocal relationship. The more that you pay attention to the plant, the more the plant will pay attention to you. If you take care of your herbs will take care of you.
Let's take a call. Patricia in Heartland will give you a chance. Hi, Patricia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I'm hoping that Susan can recommend some type of fragrant thyme that can be grown indoors.
A fragrant thyme.
I grow lemon thyme indoors, and I grow it in a clay pot. I wish I could show you the plant right now. And that does well, but it likes bright, bright sunlight. And it's a very pretty plant. Another one that does well inside is silver posy thyme, which is a real pretty variegated silver and white thyme, and I grow that indoors.
And those are and those can be a little fragrant.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, there you go, Patricia. Thanks for calling. Roger in Grantsburg, we'll go to you now. Roger, hi.
How you doing, Larry?
Good, thanks for calling.
On, good, good, good. It's nice and wet up here. Boy, we got water. I was wondering on her on herb gardens, is anything, any of those toxic to cats? Because you got cats that like to just chew on everything. And it's like, is there anything that's that you can't plant that would be toxic or harmful to them?
That's a good question. I don't have cats because I have, I prefer my birds, and I found that I had a problem with that. But I think maybe eucalyptus might be a problem, but I guess I can't really speak to that because I don't have cats. But I think that you should just do a little bit of research before you bring your plant inside. I did have cats at one time, and I never had any problem with that. So,
yeah, I think there's a, the state of Wisconsin has a site you can go to take a look at plants that may be toxic to animals. And it's probably, you know, Roger, might be worth your time to go online and just check on that. It's with the state of Wisconsin, and I'm forgetting the exact title of the site, but if you Google that in, I think it's going to come up. I'm trying to think of, I mean, there are flowers like lilies, for example. You certainly don't want lilies, you don't want your cats chomping on lilies as an example of a flower, but I haven't heard, you know, that's not come up for me in terms of herbs. So I'm reluctant to say one way or the other on it, but take a look, go online, take a look. Jeff emailed to suggest using tung oil to seal those flower boxes. So tung oil, and that makes some sense. as a way to seal those flower boxes from an earlier question from someone. So, yeah. I'm wondering, well, I'm sure humidity will play a role. Is it a problem for herbs indoors, humidity levels?
Yeah. Yes, that's a good question. And one of the things that I do is I have big copper trays on my plant stand, and I have gravel, and then I put a little bit of water in the bottom of it, and I'll set in the wintertime, because the indoors conditions change with the seasons too. We tend to think of seasonality as something that just happens outside, but it also happens within our home environment. And so I will set my herbs on these trays with making sure the pots aren't sitting in the water, but on top of the gravel, and that raises the humidity. And then also placing groups of herbs together is another way to make a little microclimate so that the herbs do better. You want to make sure that there's always good circulation, because herbs like good circulation, and I think most houseplants do, but herbs especially. And sometimes it's okay to, if it's a kind of a warm day, just to open up your windows and let some fresh air into the house. And so, because plants like fresh air, just like people.
Yeah, that also makes good sense. I'm wondering about, you know, light has come up, and you've talked about light a bit. If you need to add artificial light, what kinds of light do you suggest?
LED lights. And there is a new book that came out. Let me see.
So Susan, that's our guest.
Gardening Under Lights, The Complete Guide for Indoor Gardener and Growers. It's by Leslie F. Halleck, and she goes into great detail in this book of describing all the new types of lights and what to use. And this is probably the most up-to-date book that I have found. And it has really good information, and it does cover a lot of herbs too in the book. And I think everybody, as I said, I keep going back, the indoor environment in people's houses is just a little bit, it can be different. And I'll even in the middle of the winter, I have like a clip-on LED light. And I'll clip that on a table and put, well, it's actually on my desk. And I'll have some gray herbs like my lavender, my thymes. And I'll give them a little bit of extra light during the darkest time of the winter. But I live in Michigan, so it depends on where you live at, too.
We have an email from Jerry that he says, I've had rosemary and bay plants for many years. They spend the summer outside and then grace his hearth when winter or when the weather gets cool. It's great to have fresh rosemary and bay leaves. And you cover both of those in your book, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I do. And I do. I have a huge rosemary and also a huge bay tree that I've had for many, many years. They're sort of like my good friends. But yes, it is. Once you have access to fresh herbs, especially bay, I never buy bay in the store. And I actually, one of the things, the wonderful things about growing herbs is they're really a lot of fun to share. And so if you have a bay tree or rosemary plant, you can dry a little bit of that and package it up in a nice little container and share it with your friends. And it's, you've got a nice, you know where the plant material came from, and it's just a fun way to share your plants, share your herbs, because they do like to be shared.
Shara Lynn, by the way, sent us a link to a poisonous plants for pets. We can post that up on our page, wpr.org/Larry. I'm sure Jill Jill will put that up for us. So if you want that list, that's a good place to go. Just go to ideas@wpr.org/Larry, and you'll be able to click on it. So soil, what kinds of soil and containers? I mean, you've talked a bit about containers, but what kinds of soil and containers are best for herbs?
You really want to pour a soil mix for herbs, and because they don't, the one thing about herbs is they do not like wet feet at all. And that's the only time they'll hold a grudge. So you want my favorite mixture for growing herbs, and this will vary from person to person, depending on where you live and just how you take care of your plants. But 3 parts soil-based potting mix. I like a soil-based potting mix because it has more nutrients in it for the plant rather than a soilless mixture. And then 1 part coarse sand, 1 part compost, and 1 part perlite. And so I'll mix that up and plant my herbs in that. Now, when they're growing outdoors, you don't have to pay quite as much attention to the soil. I mean, you want to always have good, healthy soil, but growing your plants indoors, you want to be aware of what type of soil that you're using and the mixtures. And some people occasionally will buy a cacti soil mix and then maybe add something into that to grow their herbs, but you don't want a heavy soil.
And the, you know, as I looked at your book, I saw in terms of the pots, I mean, I saw a pretty broad range of pots. Can you use pretty much anything, or do certain herbs like a clay pot better than a plastic one or something like that?
In my experience, I prefer clay pots because the pots breathe. I think they're more attractive. And my herbs just do better in clay pots. Now, some people like plastic, but over the years, I've and it's personal choice to use clay pots. Now, some people like the plastic because you don't have to water them, the plants, as often, you know, because the soil will stay more moist in a plastic pot. But I like to take care of my plants and water them. And I think clay is, or terracotta is the best. And when I was working on the book and, you know, all my plants I grow, I mean, I had them growing, and when we had to move them for those wonderful photographs, you know, some of the pots were heavy. And it was suggested perhaps maybe I put them in plastic, and I explained to the, photographer that, you know, all these plants were growing in these pots because I chose those pots specifically. And sometimes I do use some of the cement, real pretty cement pots, which you'll see but the pot is important too, because it's part of it's inside, it's decorative, and you can use your herbs, you know, move them around. If you're having a dinner party, you know, you can take those herbs in those pretty pots and set them out on the table. Or as the one caller said, he puts his rosemary and bay inside and uses them decoratively throughout the winter and then moves them back out. So that's why I like clay.
Mary emailed to ask you how you clean your clay pots. How do you clean them?
Well, I wash them out, rinse them out, and then I'll put a little bit of diluted bleach in to clean them out so there's no bacteria. And then I just set them outside and let them dry. But that's a good question, Mary, because you really do want to keep your pots clean. And if you buy terracotta pots to put your herbs in, you want to soak new pots so that the moisture goes into the sides of the terracotta. You want to condition your clay pots, new clay pots, before you put your plants in them.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. How do you let them sit for an hour or so, or what do you?
Yeah, in water, in a little pail of water, or I rinse them, you know, depending on the size of the pot.
And what somebody else wondered about fertilizer, how often do you fertilize your plants? And if so, what type of fertilizer is best?
Myself, I like to use fish emulsion, and, you know, because I can water my plant and fertilize it at the same time. And so I do two things at once. And during the, when the plant's actively growing, like say right now, all my herbs are really putting on fresh new green growth because they know it's spring outside. I will give them more fertilizer at this time of the year. But in the winter, even though these herbs are growing inside, they are kind of in a little bit of a dormant period. So I don't fertilize heavily in the winter.
Should you prune these plants?
It's very important to keep your herbs pruned. And that's one of the benefits of growing your herbs inside. You can use, when you pinch your herbs back, use the foliage or sometimes some of the flowers for cooking or teas, or you can dry them or freeze it. But it is very important, especially with plants growing inside, to keep them well groomed. But they are a lot more fun to groom than a succulent, because when you touch that foliage, it just lets out all the fragrance. So it's a worthwhile endeavor to keep them properly groomed.
I like that. I like that. And the best way, in terms of harvesting, I was going to say the best way to harvest, but I more so, can you take too much when you're harvesting or pruning?
Yes, you can. You can. And so you want to cut back the new growth, but especially growing herbs indoors and harvesting them, you have to be a lot more careful than if they're outside. And so, you know, I just take, chives, I'll harvest from around the edges because it grows in clumps. I won't take from the middle. And then things like basil, I'll just keep pinching it back and shaping the plant and using it. They're more of... harvesting your herbs indoors is more like keeping them pinched back and using the plant material or the foliage, I guess.
Betty in Dodgeville has a question for you. Let's go there. Betty, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have this bay laurel that I've been having forever almost, and I've been trying to propagate it, and I have yet to be successful. Can you, and how do you do it?
Got a bay laurel. How do you propagate one?
That is one of the hardest herbs to propagate, and it takes a long time. But if you're the type of person and patient enough, and you can do it, you want to take the tip, you know, where the fresh growth is, and then strip the lower leaves, but you need some leaves left on the cutting, and I do cover that in my book. And then you can dip it in some root hormone and then set it in soil, carefully set it in soil. And then some people like to cover bay cuttings with a little plastic bag so the humidity and everything is in there. And then you just wait, but it can take up to 3 months. I mean, I have a friend who actually got me into growing herbs years and years ago. And she did propagate bay, but it was a hobby for her. I mean, she enjoyed the challenge. So keep at it.
So, and you do talk about it in your book. Chris emailed, she thinks her bay plant has scale. which is the worst. Shiny patches, bumps on the backs of leaves. She tried rubbing them off with alcohol, but it still persists, wondering what to do.
I would just do a light mixture of a dish soap, a little bit of rubbing alcohol in there, it mixed in with the water. And you really just need to wipe those stems off and wipe the leaves off. I mean, because that is one of the worst diseases to get, I mean, or pests. And so you just have to be really, really vigilant. But I found when I've had that problem, when I put it out for the summer, it goes away. And you want to make sure that plant has lots of humidity, and you just have to keep at it every day. And there are some really good horticultural, organic horticultural sprays that are designed especially for that. And so you might want to look into something like that.
Yeah, I think it's the bane of the of my, it can be the bane of your existence, is dealing with scale. It's an awful thing to deal with. But there are ways that it can be done. And as long as we're on that area, Robert in Milwaukee wondered about how to handle fungus gnats and how you keep the bugs from coming in after you bring them back indoors.
What I like to use for that is a diluted solution of hydrogen peroxide and water, because that kind of aerates, spray it on the top of the soil. And then the other thing is to make sure that your plant isn't overly damp, because that attracts them. And then one thing that's important to do growing herbs inside is it's wise to sometimes cultivate the top of that soil, you know, turn it over so that air can get in there, and that will usually take care of it. But sometimes, you know, the fungus gnats, they're persistent.
They are indeed. Well, on that note, we are out of time, Susan. Boy, this has been fun. We've gone through a lot, but there's plenty in your book that we haven't covered. So I'm hoping people have a chance to take a look at your book, and appreciate very much you taking the time to be with us today. Thanks so much for being our guest today on the Ideas Network.